And 3, 2, 1. Hello, Borgen Project volunteers. January 24th marked 1 year since the President Donald Trump halted U.S. foreign assistance, a decision that set in motion the dismantling of the U.S. Agency for International Development, better known as USAID. At the time, the move drew little resistance from Republican lawmakers. Many had largely deferred to the president on foreign policy, and the rollback of foreign aid moved forward with minimal pushback. That's what makes what happened this month stand out. In a rare display of bipartisan agreement, both the House and Senate passed the National Security and State Department Appropriations Bill, and they did so by wide margins. In the House, the vote was 341-79. In the Senate, 71-29. These numbers tell a larger story. They suggest that despite deep political divisions, a consensus still exists in Washington that diplomacy and international assistance remain central to America's ability to compete and lead in the world. The bill rejects the administration's most aggressive proposed cuts to foreign assistance. Instead, it imposed an overall 16% reduction. Now, that's a significant cut, but one that preserves core programs, strengthens congressional oversight, and reasserts Congress's role in directing how USAID dollars are spent. Funding is maintained for global health and humanitarian assistance, programs supporting food security, women and girls, education, water and sanitation remain intact. The legislation also restores U.S. support for Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, and that's a key player in global immunization efforts. But the bill is not yet law. The president must still sign it, and even then the administration must implement the spending, something it has not consistently done over the past year. That raises a deeper operational question. With USAID now absorbed into the State Department, does state actually have the capacity to manage tens of billions of dollars in foreign assistance efficiently, transparently, and at scale? The question grows even more urgent as the administration quietly reshapes how foreign aid works. Behind the scenes, the State Department has been negotiating a series of bilateral agreements with developing countries to deliver health aid directly, replacing systems that for decades operated through USAID. So far, the United States has signed agreements with 16 African nations, committing more than $11 billion in health assistance over the next 5 years. These deals reflect the administration's global health strategy unveiled last September, which reframes health spending not just as humanitarian assistance, but as a tool to make the United States safer and more prosperous. Meanwhile, USAID's flagship food assistance program, Food for Peace, has landed at the Department of Agriculture under an interagency agreement with the State Department. Food for Peace has long enjoyed bipartisan support, in part because the farmers supplying the food often live in red states and rural districts. Its survival underscores a familiar reality. Domestic politics will shape how and whether foreign aid endures. And finally, a human note to close. When U.S. foreign assistance unraveled last year, nearly 10,000 USAID employees, contractors, and NGO staff lost their jobs. The development community responded with grief and with a flood of open-to-work posts on LinkedIn. Many of these professionals are still searching. But some former USAID staff decided to channel that disruption in a different direction. They're running for public office, from city councils to Congress, believing the skills they gained overseas may now be needed at home. So don't be surprised if one day soon an elected official tells you, "I know all about foreign assistance. I used to work for USAID." How cool will that be? For a country still debating its role in the world, that might be voices worth hearing. And I look forward to speaking with you next month.